The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today. Running her mouth, she wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it, I'm cool as ever, she's too excited, her man look like he wanna fight, he ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. I've got some good news, Packers fans. According to the Packers dope sheet, and are you a dope sheet fan? Are you a? I like the dope sheet. Lots of information in there. If you have the time to sift through it, I highly recommend it. Per the dope sheet, Packers are top 10 in the league in a lot of different categories. Yards per game, yards per play, rush yards per game, passing yards per game, sacks allowed, first downs, time of possession, points, first downs, just to name a few. And we have talked about defensively how the takeaways, interceptions, etc., they are also near the top of the league in those categories. But let's focus on the offense for just a moment, Chew. Can a very, very good offense, can a top 10 offense hide some of the defensive issues? And obviously when I talk about defensive issues, I'm pass rush. Can it overcome? Can it hide? Can it keep the Packers in the top tier, the elite of the NFL, even if the pass rush is still near the bottom of the teams in the league?
Yes. And I think we saw that with Aaron Rodgers. You know, Aaron Rodgers, when he led this team, had the ability to put up 50 points a game if they played very well. So, yes, they do. It's not ideal. It makes the trek a little tougher, but certainly it can be done. Absolutely.
So
the tough thing about this team, Jen, if they don't keep pace with Minnesota and Minnesota wins the division, and I said it yesterday, where you get to the playoffs and you have to win against four good teams to win the Super Bowl, it's a tough task. It's a very tough task. That's why they have to keep pace with Minnesota and not let it get too far out of hand.
So you have given us your Chewgorithm before. The Chewgorithm is something about where the offense is and where the defense is, and you average the two together, and that tells you, mm-hmm. Chew, whether or not it will be a playoff team, whether or not it will be a top-tier, top-echelon team in the NFL. How high does the defense have to get in order for the offense to be able to carry it to the playoffs, a deep run in the playoffs?
That all depends on the offense. I mean, if the offense is top three, then you could probably have a 14th ranked defense. If the offense is an 8 or a 9 or a 10, the defense can't be that far down the road. Now, obviously, turnovers help, and this team is getting a lot of them. Mm-hmm. So hopefully that doesn't dry up, because if that does dry up, closes the gap quite a bit. It makes that offense have to produce much more, score more points. So the nice thing about it is, what are we, six games in? Seven?
Yes.
Six. Mm-hmm. Six games in? That's a lot of time. You don't want to be the best team in the NFL right now. You don't want to be hot, you know? And there's going to be a dip. I'm telling you, there's going to be a dip where they're going to maybe lose two games in a row, and then you have a reset, and you get together, and you say, all right, now here we go. Now we run the table. Kind of like last year. I mean, no one thought they'd go as far as they did, especially the first half of the season. So we're not to that critical point yet. But like I said earlier, you have to stay in Minnesota's rearview mirror, because if you don't, it makes your task that much tougher.
So Adam Schefter mentioned earlier this morning about the NFC North possibly being the best division in football right now. I saw another stat, maybe I mentioned it yesterday, can't recall, about the Green Bay Packers, the Lions, the Vikings, and the Bears being the top four teams in the league right now from a point differential standpoint. No other team in the league is better from a point differential standpoint than the teams in the NFC North. So if the mm-hmm. Packers offense can continue putting up big numbers, 30-plus points per game, I feel like you can overcome some of the pass rush deficiencies. I feel like, and I mentioned it to you guys this morning, back in 2020, they did not have a good pass rush. Who would that have been? That would have been like Zadarius. Was Zadarius on that defensive line?
And no. Preston.
Preston, obviously, yeah. Yes, was still there.
Yeah.
They did not have a great, they did not get pressure. And that was the team in 2020 that went all the way to the NFC Championship game, famously lost to Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But they didn't lose that game, guys, because they didn't get pressure. Now, was Tom Brady pressured in that game? Not a lot. I think it was like five times, something crazy like that. But that's not why they lost that game. They lost that game because they couldn't convert when they got turnovers. They lost that game because...
Well, there was that touchdown at the end of the game, right?
Scotty Miller Scotty Miller. That was the end of the half, right? That was at halftime.
Darius was on that team. I gave you bad information.
Okay. And then Aaron Jones had a big fumble. Yeah. Yes. It's just...
They also scored field goals on a couple of goal situations as opposed to touchdowns. Like, again, what I'm trying to say is they didn't lose the NFC Championship game that year because their pass rush was bad. Rodgers was also sacked five times in that game. Mm-hmm. They lost that game for other reasons, and the pass rush was non-existent. So there's a part of me that thinks if you're in the NFC Championship game, you had a pretty suspect pass rush that season, and you were one of four teams with an opportunity to go to the Super Bowl. That's why I'm not as panicky. I'm not as anxious about what has been perceived as a lack of pass rush so far through six games. That 2020 season, they had 15 sacks at this point in the season. We have 16 sacks this year. Their pressure percentage was 23.6, which was good for 27th in the league. The pressure percentage this year is 30.6. That's good for 17th in the league. Josh, you hear what I'm saying? Like, it's not good. Would we like for it to be better? Yes. Is it going to keep the Packers from getting to an NFC title game? History indicates it might not.
Yeah, I think that's useful information. And I think what the difference there is the Packers were generating that pass rush basically by bringing no pressure back in 2020. And the reason there is an uptick from that number is Jeff Hafley has dialed up some really good blitzes. And frankly, Edgerrin Cooper is like a guy who you bring with ultimate confidence that if he doesn't get there, he's going to get damn close. I think there's value in what the Packers are doing right now in the offense, kind of allowing the defense to figure it out. There was always going to be a figuring it out process with the defense in the new Jeff Hafley scheme. Now, I don't know if something's magically going to change, but the Packers are going to have the ability to experiment and try different ways because there's not going to be a lot of games like there was against the Vikings where it's 28-0 and you're just out there kind of playing get back the whole game. Like, the Packers score fast and they score a lot right now, which is an advantage. I do think, though, the one thing to mention there is you could say one of the reasons they were held back is they were unable to get pressure on Tom Brady and take them to the top level. I think that's kind of where the concern for me comes from is at some point to reach the ultimate highs of a Super Bowl, you are going to need more production out of that group at some point.
But Tom Brady threw three interceptions in that game.
Yeah. Like,
it's not the defense's fault that the offense couldn't capitalize on those.
No. But no, that was the big debate about that, was everyone was blaming the defense once again because of the point total, but Aaron Rodgers was unable to turn any points into any of those turnovers he got.
But another big difference is because they went, I believe that was 13-3 because they didn't go to the 17-game schedule yet. The difference is the teams that they have to play twice a year were non-existent in 2020.
Oh, you mean they were crap-tastic?
The Bears suck, Detroit sucked. Minnesota wasn't very good. Okay, now you have six games where you have to play football, right? Where you have to play football. Because having, you know, I don't know if it's as big as it is when I played, but playing at home, it's a big difference. I don't know if it is anymore, especially the way they went into Dallas and they went into San Francisco and competed for three quarters. It's week seven. Week seven. We got plenty of time. We can tread water for now.
Oh, I love that you seem to be sort of in my camp, which is there's no panic yet over the pass rush.
No.
The fact that the offense may have to do a lot of the heavy lifting. The offense may have to score 30-plus points in order for this Packers team to win games. Because I just showed you that in 2020, they were just as quote-unquote bad as far as pressure percentage goes. Now, we could also look at pass rush win rate, which is a very difficult thing to say quickly. And they are worse this year at pass rush win rate than they were at this point back in 2020. And also, just to put this information out there, over the past five seasons, the average playoff team has a pass rush win rate of 43.5. Green Bay right now has 30.8. So they are well below the average of what playoff teams have produced at that position from a win rate standpoint right now. But to Chewy's point, a lot of ball game left, a lot of season left. They can certainly continue to elevate those numbers as the season goes on, Chewy.
Yeah, you know who all the pressure is on? It's on Jeff Hafley. It's like, hey, you got to make a kick-ass lasagna, but, you know, we're giving you very little cheese, and the noodles are old, you know, and the sauce has a little mold in it. But I expect a five-star lasagna. That's how it's going to be. It's on Jeff Hafley. Because I can tell you this, Jen, Rashawn Gary ain't getting any better. Lucas Van Ness is what he is, you know.
Moldy Sauce. What a nickname, Chew. Is that Rashawn Gary's nickname? We're working on nicknames moldy, for you over here.
You know what? That's good.
The Moldy Sauce.
Moldy Sauce.
I feel like we
go ahead, Josh.
The nickname that Eric sent in, one of our teammates here.
What did he say?
Big League Chew, because he likes being chewed out.
I will tell you this, guys. Lots of folks weighing in on the ESPN Milwaukee Talk and Text line with nicknames for Chewy. Neggy Nancy. I assume that's negative Nancy. Because you would prefer for them to handle it negatively. That from Mr. Fresh. DG from Brian in the 414, which stands for damaged goods. Do you want us to call you damaged goods?
Yeah, I have no problem with it. None.
Then there's a lot of people who are taking this one step further than I would prefer, going into the sort of whips and chains and handcuffs.
Yeah, we don't need that
space. Chew hate me. That from Steve in the 414.
Is that a play on he hate me?
I think it is.
Yeah.
And then someone says, "Isn't Chew his nickname?" Excellent question. You're not wrong. The issue is Chewy wants another nickname because Gabe has Johnny Raincloud, and I think he's got a little bit of
your nickname. I'm a little jealous.
Little nickname.
Jealous. I liked Adams. Adam Numbers. I think he liked it too.
What about Charlie Tussle instead of Charlie Hustle? Because you want a tussle. You like Charlie Tussle?
I'll take it.
Feels like that might be the leader in the clubhouse right now, considering the reaction it got out of Joshy and Chew. 800-990-3776 if you want to get in on the nicknames for Chew, who prefers to be yelled at. So much nuance we need to make sure we get in there. If you're a local who wants to enjoy a night out, or maybe you are visiting our great city of Milwaukee, the St. Kate the Arts Hotel is the place to be. Brain fart. Sorry, just stopped. The hotel is ideally located in the heart of the theater district in downtown Milwaukee with deluxe accommodations, culinary creativity, on-site art galleries, and nightly live music. You'll enjoy every element of your stay when you stay at St. Kate. Go to their website, stkatearts.com, stkatearts.com, to learn more and book your reservation.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
The other side of the world, and I'll let you know if I want to come back and coach your little game.
He's Jay Peterman.
Ian Rappaport tweeting yesterday, and I thought this was interesting. The Broncos
Burma?
The
that
last
was gibberish.
Few weeks. You guys done?
I got more.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Make this the last year that you rent. With Great Midwest Bank's home mortgage loans, owning your dream home is within reach. Since GMB is a community bank, they can explore your entire financial picture and make their own lending decisions. This allows their loan officers to offer flexible options that bigger banks simply cannot. Work with the bank that works with you. Great Midwest Bank. Apply online, call, or stop by a branch. Visit greatmidwestbank.com to see what products GMB has for you. You know who's moving? Davante Adams. He showed up yesterday on the Pat McAfee show with Aaron Rodgers. And so he's already in New York. I assume we'll see him I would assume this week, right? You see him out on the field. You don't sit somebody like Davante Adams and let them work their way in. You just throw them out there and throw them into the fire, right, guys?
Yeah, it was the fastest healing hamstring in the history of the world.
It's good.
Enough to keep him out on Sunday, but good enough for him to play the next day.
Yeah.
Also, he's going into a familiar enough offensive scheme and like play calling structure where I imagine he's not going to have a big playbook like that he's going to have to learn.
I'm rooting for Davante Adams, too. I want them to do well.
I am too, but does this tell us anything about his exit from Green Bay? Because I thought the exit from Green Bay had partially the reason was Aaron Rodgers, and the two had kind of had a fractured relationship. But that's doesn't seem to be the case. Now, to me, it seems like it was 1,000% Goody.
Yeah, I mean, Jason Wilde's been saying that for a long time, and people were reticent to believe that because they would rather believe that that's not the case. But he was mad that they lowball offered him. I believe it was like $17 million was the number. He wanted way more than that. He ended up getting way more than that because that's what top flight receivers are. So when they did offer him more money, it was too late by then. He had said, I'm out of here. I'm gone. And the one time he saw Jordan Love play a game, he nearly got Devontae killed. When he had to play for the COVID replacement game in Kansas City, where his mom was sitting in outer space to watch that game.
So what does this mean for the Jets?
I think the
playoffs?
I think they're exact same team that they were before. Maybe it looks a little bit better, but they're 9-10 win team. They have to pull it together here. They have to it's like 7-4 to sort of be in consideration. I find it Yes. I find it like I've fallen out of love with Devontae, especially after I watched that receiver thing where he's always complaining about everyone else. Kind of has a little bit of Aaron Rodgers disease to him. I'm not rooting for him nor Aaron Rodgers. I'm sure that comes as no shock to you.
Giant shock. I can't believe it. I'm blown away by this revelation.
I did not realize you were the toad that you are.
What?
I really didn't.
This has nothing to do with
Toad dumb. Because if for some reason they traded Devontae to Green Bay, you would love it.
No, I would not.
You'd be like, this is... Are you mad that he left Green Bay and went to the Raiders?
No, I'm not mad that he left Green Bay. I think the Packers are better off for it. I think that was a good decision. And seeing what he got trade compensation for this time around, I'm not a fan of keeping players around because of what they've done in the past. It's what are you going to bring me in the future?
Okay, to me, this is very, 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 very simple. It's very simple. Aaron Rodgers is a generational quarterback. Check. Fact.
Was.
Okay, but he can still make some great throws, okay? He is fun to watch when he has capable and talented receivers. Davante Adams is a capable and talented receiver. I think they're going to make magic on the football field. Does that magic equal a playoff berth? I'm not willing to go that far yet. Okay, still think the Bills are the top tier in that division. I still think they have a long way to chase the Bills. And oh, by the way, the Bills were like, we'll see your Davante Adams and raise you a Cooper just to make sure that we aren't left out in the cold since they couldn't afford Davante Adams. So I think the Bills got better yesterday too, giving Josh Allen a weapon. So I'm not willing to say that it puts him in the playoffs. But what I will say is this. I like watching good football. I like watching talented players. I will watch Aaron Rodgers to Davante Adams, because if Aaron Rodgers to Alan Lazard creates excitement, creates those moments, creates those clippable scenes that we watch on our social media, you best believe you're going to see some of those from Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams. So that's what I'm rooting for. I'm rooting for that.
Yeah, I mean, I could watch a highlight tape. That's all I view it as. I don't think it matters what they're going to be doing. I don't think they go from... what did you say their percentage of the Super Bowl was? Like 1.2%?
1.2 to win the Super Bowl.
I think it's going to not be what you want it to be because Aaron Rodgers is under a ton of pressure. The message is out there. Blitz him. Make him move. Make him be incredible because he's not as consistently good as he used to be. So,
but hold on, Josh. We can't say that it's early or only six games when it applies to the Packers, and we can't apply it to the Jets. Because those three receivers now Mike Williams becomes their number three.
Well, he's getting traded.
You think so?
Yeah, they've made that pretty public that they plan to move
but
on.
But still, Garrett Wilson and Devontae, that's a pretty good 1-2 punch.
Yeah.
And then you got Breece Hall in this. I think Aaron works his way back into the MVP conversation.
That's what it is. We figured it out. It's to give back his bold take. That's all it is.
Of course.
You tricked me.
Did you expect anything else?
You lulled me into a sense that
I admit it. That's the difference. I admit it.
You reeled me in, thought you were giving a reasonable football take.
Yes.
Well, actually, I just want to be right.
I fished you is what I did.
You did.
I fished you.
That was live on air fishing.
Yes.
I got to be honest. I didn't see it coming. Usually, I'm pretty good. I got eyes wide open. I can see the whole field. I know
clicked,
what's happening
I clicked
there.
The SharePoint
I had
link.
No idea. I had no idea.
Oh,
that's
I
what
was
you were
setting
doing.
You up from the start. Johnny setup.
You goon. I will say this. Tone James is cranky on the YouTube page because we keep using Johnny Raincloud, and that was his creation. So we want to make sure we give credit to Tone James, who says, I feel like Will Ferrell's character in Zoolander, Mugatu, with Johnny Raincloud. Like, I invented the piano key necktie. Where is my shout out? There you go. We appreciate it because we will use Johnny Raincloud in perpetuity until the end of time, until Gabe goes back to being a toad. 800-990-3776 if you want to get your reaction in on Davante Adams going to the Jets, if you think this makes them a contender or not, if you will be rooting for Aaron Rodgers and Davante as they continue in this NFL season. Go ahead, Josh.
The part that I really want to happen and I'm rooting for the most here is Jets fans, Jets players, and Jets media to get all excited that it's going to matter and for it to be an utter disappointment. I really don't care what Aaron Rodgers and Davante do together. Like, you make a good point. They obviously are a good duo, but I want it to be the utmost expectations for them to reel off some wins and then for it to be devastatingly ripped out of their grips.
Sharton farter.
Yes, yes, sir.
Farter. Most Sharton farter, which is fine because we are.
I'm a Sharton farter.
There it is. We are the Sharton farter program of note. Lots of nicknames coming in for Chew. How about Super Doofus? That from Matthew in 414.
Not that just, feels just like a shot.
Not just standard doofus, but Super Doofus. Chewyella? I don't know what that is, Brandon. Chewyella in the 920. And, yep, still with the people giving me the spanking nickname, so we'll just move right along. Yeesh. People definitely think like you are a glutton for punishment, as you have said that you would prefer to be yelled at than someone be nice to you when you screw up. Do you at least buy, Chew, that it is because of your time in the NFL?
Probably that. And I mean, it was in the 70s. It was a little bit of a different world, as we said earlier on the show with our, or was that yesterday, with our fathers. Yeah, they held you accountable now. Yeah, I probably do. Although I live with a negative Nancy. Super negative. Yes. Which is fine. I'm not that negative, am I?
Do you ever notice how quiet we get when you criticize your wife?
Yeah, I know. She's gone, though.
I thought you said she has spies.
She does, but they're okay.
When you start talking about your wife, I basically turn my mic off and move away, just in case. I want none of that smoke.
Well, I thought what I said yesterday about in regards to her age, I was going to catch a little heat, but
I don't even want to laugh.
Women
on
don't
that.
Like that. I still don't understand that whole thing. Like, why is it okay for a man to say how old he is, but it's not for a woman? I think it's flattering. No? Jen, hello?
No, I'm not. I told you, I'm not having these conversations.
Okay.
They feel very dangerous. They feel like bear traps. I'm not putting my foot in the bear trap. All you sports bettors out there, if you aren't making your wagers at Pottawatomie Casino Hotel Milwaukee, you are missing out on an elite experience. It is a complete sports betting paradise. The state-of-the-art venue has dozens of self-service betting kiosks, seating for more than 200 people, a first-class bar and restaurant VIP deck, and a broadcast booth, which we are big fans of. Yes, Gabe, we are fans of that. If that isn't enough for you, there's a giant video wall that is over 2,000 square feet. And tonight, from 6 to 7, make sure you tune into The Weekly Wager with me, Greg, and Ben, where we give you the best bets of the weekend. Got another victory last weekend. Put it on the board. Yes. Bet above the rest, only at Pottawatomie Casino Hotel.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
A freaking catapult attached to his right hip. Like, I just made that up. A catapult.
That was good.
I kind of liked it. I was rolling with it, Rob.
Like a slingshot?
I'm calling old catapult leg from here on out.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Are in the market for a home addition or a remodeling project, maybe you're thinking about building a brand new home, the PCI team is here for you. That's right, Professional Construction Inc., who we use for our home improvement when we have something crop up in our house. Congratulations to PCI. They have celebrated their 20th anniversary, and you know what that means? They've been doing it for a long time at a high level. You can learn more about PCI at ProfessionalConstructionInc.com, ProfessionalConstructionInc.com. You ever abuse your power?
Probably.
You have power. Yes. You have, you know, you're a big guy and you have the NFL to hang your hat on. And you know, there are times where you could certainly push your weight around. A sheriff in Georgia did just that. He called for backup when he and his wife's order at a burger joint was wrong and they couldn't get help. He called for backup. I mean, like, professional backup. That to me feels like an abuse of power. There have got to be other things happening in Georgia that the police need to be responding to besides the sheriff's order being wrong at the restaurant, right, Chu?
Yeah, that's a little bit abuse of power. I'm just trying to think. I mean, we all know who was the hoop player in Milwaukee that dropped the don't you know who I am? That's about as bad as it gets. Remember, he is a big stiff. No? Randy Brewer. Randy Brewer.
Huh.
You remember him?
Could have given
me
$1 million, $1 million, and I would not have known who you were talking about.
Yeah, I don't even know the situation.
Really? I don't know. He was somewhere. I think it's pretty well known throughout Milwaukee, too. He was somewhere, whether it be at a bar or something like that, and he dropped the don't you. I think that is the worst. Now, the cop calling backup for the burger joint, yeah, that's a little ridiculous.
He's telling the people at the drive-thru, and it, again, is the home of the dropper. Rome of the dropper, I believe, is how we try to disguise the spot. But nonetheless, he called for backup as he was in the drive-thru because they wouldn't fix the order or couldn't fix the order. So these police officers, guys, are going screaming through the town with their sirens on to respond to what they thought was, you know, a legit emergency. And it turns out that the burger was just made wrong. Yeah, got the wrong order, and when he asked them to fix it, they were uncooperative, so he called for backup. That guy can't work much longer, right, guys? Like, somebody's got to get a hold of him and say, you fired.
At least smells of a suspension.
I watched the video. I wasn't quite sure what was wrong with the burger that they got, but they also requested that the burger be cut in half. Now, this is a fast food joint where they're just cranking out burgers and chicken nuggets and fries and all that stuff where it's, you know, the whole thing is you get in, you get out. People who request specialties at the drive-thru drive me bonkers.
Really?
Ugh.
You know what's...
Just
know
get
what's
it and deal with it.
No.
You know what's starting to annoy me here? Really annoy me.
This
and I get
off the lawn
my wife.
Segment here.
Yeah. It is. No, but it is the Nextdoor app.
Ugh. Don't give me...
Do you guys follow the Nextdoor app at all?
Sure don't.
No.
It's very entertaining, but these people just like the morality police, like stay in your lane and shut the hell up.
Well, what do you mean? What's an example of the morality police on the Nextdoor app, Chew?
Watering your lawn right now, right? Watering your lawn. See, down here, it's all reclaimed water, right? It's all reclaimed water. You can't even shower in it. If you get wet from it, from a sprinkler in your lawn, you should really go in and shower it off. But these people with the, you know, holier than now in morality place, I just want to tell them, shut up.
Hold on. I got
a question. You know, it was a good thing. Yeah. It was a good thing, Jen, Because you get things like, hey, this repairman's good, this roofing company's great, this one's bad, this landscape, good, good, good. Now it's just turned into the holier-than-thou Nextdoor app.
Are people really watering their lawn right now in Florida?
Yeah, 18 inches of rain, I guess, wasn't enough. No, but the problem is, the water came up so high onto lawns that the salt, you got to kind of rinse the salt water out of it, or you're going to be spending $15,000 in sod.
The Nextdoor app and the camera apps that are out there where you can kind of follow what's going around in your neighborhood have been bad for middle America and people that use those, because not only are people being nosy about stuff they have no business being nosy about, it also creates a sense of fear in a lot of people that they think there's constantly some sort of crime happening, when a lot of times it's like harmless people that were like just doing normal everyday things. But because it was caught on a camera in a quick clip, it looks nefarious. We have one of those cameras, and I've told the people around me, stop looking at it. It's going to do us no good. It's not going to make any situation better. And a lot of times it's like, if you do see things, it's like depressing.
We used to call those busybodies.
Uh-huh.
The people who would like...
And now they are digital and they can reach thousands.
But you should see digital some of the responses.
Busybodies. Uh-huh.
Yeah. You should see some of the responses on here now. It's like, you know, because this is a big vacation spot. And I showed you guys video of... It's destroyed.
Yeah.
It's destroyed. And you have people from around the country going, could you go over to this? I mean, just putting it on the neck. Could you go over to this hotel and see if it's still operational because we have a vacation there? And these people are like, my house was just destroyed. And you're talking about your vacation. You know, the stupidity of people just boggles my mind.
Well, that to me is a lack of self-awareness. That's an obtuseness, you know, to not recognize kind of the severity. That's like looking at a situation through a straw instead of seeing the big picture.
Me and my wife literally went to this one island, Jen, that's destroyed, and we both started crying. I mean, it's just so sad that these people, I mean, the everything from their house is piled on their front lawn, you know? And it's just people, hey, I'm there in 3 weeks. No, everything is gone. Everything is shut down. See you in 2 years. It's just very, very frustrating.
Well, I'm glad that we could get that out there. I'm glad.
I thought we were going to talk about people changing their orders at the drive-thru.
Me too.
You know who you want to blame?
You?
The damn IT people, okay? Because I woke up in a real good mood, right? And I've been overly negative today. So if you want to blame someone, blame them.
Not the guy who clicked on the phishing email, but the person who sent the phishing email to protect the integrity and security of our company. Makes perfect sense. I could see you using your sirens to get a burger fixed.
There was a time, Jen.
Chef
there
Ed weighing in on the ESPN Milwaukee Talk and Text line. Remember when Giannis got ignored at a taco place in town? He took the high road and just left. Now, Giannis, feel like he's kind of like feeling himself now. Back in the day, he kind of was a little more, no one knows me, that's okay. Mm-hmm. It's just starting out. Now we got a clip of Giannis saying that he's a generational talent, which he's probably not wrong about, but you know, a little surprising. Giannis tooting his own horn. Giannis telling us how great he is. That was a little eye opening for me.
You know where they love Giannis?
Greece.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They love him there.
Oh wait, this is your revelation from your trip.
Did you think you were gonna stump us with that one?
No, but we would be in like a tour guide would be taking us around, and we'd be an hour into it, and he'd bring up Giannis. He's like, yeah, we live in the same town that he died, you know, and they're like, you got to be kidding me. You didn't tell me that when you first got in the car. I'm like, I didn't think it was such a big deal. Obviously, it is.
I mean, I am just shocked that Giannis
Antetokounmpo
is
huge in Greece.
From Greece.
Yes.
Is larger than life. In Phew. Greece.
Yes. They wanted to touch me because I'm from the same town. Very bizarre.
I don't know if that's why they wanted to touch you, buddy, but maybe.
Yeah.
We got to take a break. That was another Phew. Wild and twisty ride. I did not expect that. Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
We'll take a break. Be right back after this.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Are you going to answer the question?
What's the question?
Can the Packers win without Aaron Jones on Sunday?
Yes. Will you stop? You know what he is?
He's jumping.
He's like the little devil on the shoulder.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Here we go.
With competitive rates and tailored banking solutions, your money works harder for you when you bank at Great Midwest Bank. Join a community that values your growth and supports your journey. Great Midwest Bank, where your financial goals become a reality. Visit greatmidwestbank.com to see what products they have for you. Let's go out with some bling. If you missed any of our conversation about the new kicker for the Green Bay Packers, McManus, what's his first name?
Brandon.
Oh, so we went from a Braden to a Brandon?
Sure did.
Okay. Well, no wonder my brain has been misfiring on
it. Yeah, that's why.
You know what it is? It's exposure to the crazy over there in the third window on the YouTube stream. That's what it is. Good Lord, I'm doing my damnedest to keep this train on the tracks today.
At least McManus is easier than Narveson.
How? There was a Chris Narveson on the Brewers years and years ago. It was already implanted in my brain, Narveson. McManus is not hard. I got McManus. But
no,
it's the Braden to Brandon thing. It's Brandon McManus. Great. Do you agree with Woody Johnson when he said thinking is overrated? 69% of people said, no, it is not overrated. It's actually quite important, and y'all should do it a little more often on your show. 800-990-3776 if you want to get reaction. I was going to say, if you missed any of our conversation about the new kicker, you can find it on Wisconsin On Demand, wherever you get your podcast. But Chew, we did come to the conclusion that making this change now is the right thing because it wasn't going to get any better given the circumstances that Narveson was in, right? Like, young kicker, there's too much pressure. If he couldn't go out there and make a field goal when the Packers were winning a game handily, then the circumstances had gotten to him, right? Like, this was not going to get any better when you were in a do or die, you know, split the uprights or lose the game situation.
But do you think this is the end of the line? I don't.
So you don't,
I mean, did he go to training camp somewhere, Joshy? I know I'm putting you on the spot a little bit.
McManus? No, he's been out because of the legal limbo that he was in at the time.
I mean, I don't think this is the end of the line. I think this is going to be a revolving door, and it's going to be a revolving door for the... There's a reason that the guy didn't have a job, and I know his I don't even know if it was legal trouble, but his trouble with the league obviously played a part, but... I mean, you would...
To update the timeline, he was, like, just cleared last week. So
he was?
The timeline has been very short. Like, given the opportunities for teams to really bring him in... This week was the real lead the first time people were able to.
And did I see that Anders Carlson also was picked up by the San Francisco 49ers and he's on their practice squad
sure was.
Now? Chew, is that an opportunity for him to get right? You think he ends up having a lengthy career?
I think they're going to give him time, which they should with all kickers because, you know, it is so much different from a pressure standpoint kicking in the NFL as opposed to college. But I'm surprised that they didn't move the kid on the practice squad up just to give him a shot. I mean, obviously, we don't know how he's been kicking in practice and doing his thing, but, I mean, you would think, well, give him a shot. But
maybe they've seen enough from him in practice to know that he's still a project.
Yeah, that's a possibility. I'm not confident. Are you guys confident?
I'm going to wait. I'm going to reserve judgment for this weekend.
I feel better than I did with Narveson.
Well, because they did something, right?
Right.
They were proactive.
And this is a guy with a more established track record. As we see, kickers are fickle things. You never know what you're going to get out of them in any given season. So
yeah, they're like golfers, you know?
Same analogy
well,
I drew.
Some guys go in the tank, yeah.
Yeah.
We put it on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll this morning, and if you're wondering how we got here, well, just know that we are also.
Yeah.
Chewy said, I think it's a Shart and Farter thing, did you celebrate when your siblings got in trouble as a kid? Think you know where he stands on this one, guys? He did.
I said 22.
What's 22, Taylor Swift?
The percent.
I said 22% would say yes.
Oh, well, you're way past that. You've flown past that. Yes, of course, 57% of people celebrated when their siblings got in trouble.
Absolutely.
I don't understand the psychology of this. Better him than
me. You want to move up the pecking order, right? That's it. I mean, if one of my kids goes to church, he moves up the order in regards to their grandmother. Yes, that's how it works.
What does that end with? Do they get more money in the will? Do they get more a couple more butterscotches from the pocket? What are we talking here?
One's getting really good lasagna. The other one's getting leftover minestrone soup.
No, there's no way that any Italian grandma is giving away bad lasagna or bad minestrone soup. Like, this just doesn't happen. You know that. The reputation is on the line.
Am I doing the being the grandchild or son thing all wrong? And I'm not, like, thinking of how I can wiggle myself ahead of my sibling? Because it seems like that's important over on your side of the family. And maybe I'm just missing something. And maybe it would provide me value.
Well, you just see it. You're in the minority. 57% agreed with me.
It's a small
thing. Yeah. It feels manipulative.
It does. Yeah, but
look, this is a huge win for me.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. I am surprised that so many people were playing, you know, Game of Thrones Hunger Games with their siblings when they were younger. That's startling to me. You know, it's sort of like we're all in this together would be kind of the attitude that you should have.
Nah.
But Casey weighing in saying, I mean, maybe a couple times if they deserved it, but across the board, not really. My oldest sister got my dad mad, which meant he was in the mood to find something I had done wrong. So we worked together to keep the peace. Yeah, that to me feels like the smarter play. But what do I know? Jeez Louise. I don't think we came up with any more great nicknames for Chew. Lots of them rolling in. Ebenezer Chew, that from Josh in Heartland. Chewy fell for a phishing email, LOL. He doesn't have a nickname. He just wants to laugh at you. That's from John in the 262. A couple of reactions to that police officer who called in backup when the burger wasn't made right. How about Whipping Boy for Chewy from Michael in the 262?
Well, I was when I played. I was the designated yell guy in Green Bay.
Yeah, Chewy's nickname should be BYOW, bring your own wine, but wine is WHINE because you whine.
I like it.
I still think
like
that
all of them.
Charlie Tussle should be your nickname from now on. I think we're going to So Let It Be Written, So Let It Be Done. Will D and Tosh is next on ESPN Milwaukee. Have a great one, everybody.